down, guys, a little bit, if you will. I've got a pretty loud voice, so you can bring me on down a little bit. But why don't you stand this morning? We're going to go back to some familiar scripture over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. We're going to go there this morning, and so it's just a blessing. So, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for which is conceived as her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, right? He will save his people from their sins. Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and let's say it like we mean it. Come on, say it with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. I'll never be the same. Never the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to five people this morning and say, Feliz Navidad. Would you do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Man, God is good. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We're going to have candlelight after the message this morning, and so it's going to be great, and we've got a great surprise for you as well, and so we're excited about that this morning. Most of all, I'm excited about Jesus. You know, Jesus is the reason, not for just this season, but for every season in life. Jesus is the reason. If you haven't come to find that out yet, here's your opportunity this morning. You can have an opportunity to receive this Christ today, and he will change your life forever. He is so, so good. So, you know, when we celebrate Christmas, you know, there's a lot of celebration going around and a lot of talk, and we can get caught up in many things. But I really want us to get caught up in Jesus. Amen? Because that's so vitally important. I remember, you know, years ago when the girls were real small, and we never, you know, lied to the girls. We always told them the truth. And so we're telling them, you know, about Santa Claus and all of that. And so we were driving down the road that day, and I think Elise and Kay were in the back car, and, you know, and Holly was trying to explain to them, you know, hey, you know, Dad is Santa Claus. Do you realize that? And so Elise stood back there. She's sitting back there, and she turned to Kay, and she said, hey, Kay, Daddy thinks he's Santa Claus. I'm like, okay, yeah. So, you know, but really, you know, the whole, I am so thankful that in this world we live in, that we take one day to set aside, although I don't really believe, and most scholars don't believe it's the day that Jesus was born, December 25th. He was probably born a few months earlier. But we take this time to celebrate the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, amen. Not only is he with us, he's in us, right? And not only is he in us, but he's for us, praise God. We celebrate this time, and I'm so thankful that we can give God the glory and the praise and the honor and recognize how good God is for sending his son, for God so loved that he gave. He loved that he gave. He loved us so much that he gave. But can you imagine Mary at this time? In fact, I'm going to talk to you this morning about how to have a Merry Christmas. An M-A-R-Y. How to have a Merry Christmas. Because Mary gave birth to a miracle. The birth of Jesus is absolutely a miracle. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in need of a miracle. Maybe this past year has just not lined up or went the way you thought, or maybe you've encountered some health difficulties and some problems financially. But I want to tell you today, God has a miracle for you in this place. Amen? And it starts with knowing Jesus. Because when you know Jesus and you have him in your life, man, everything begins to change and line up, and it's just amazing. And you find out how much God really loves you and that God's not mad at you any longer, amen, and has really never been mad at you. He loves you today, and you find out the love of God, and you find out all the gifts of God, amen. It's not just one gift. He gives us so many gifts. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the gift of salvation. He gives us the gift of righteousness. He gives us the gift of freedom. He gives us the gifts of healing, plural. All of these gifts came through Jesus Christ. And when we receive him into our life, it just changes everything. But can you imagine how Mary must have felt when the angel came and announced to her, hey, you're gonna have a child. And she was like maybe 14 or 15 years old. In your mind, can you imagine? And she said, well, you know, Lord, I've known no man. And how can this be? How can this happen? I mean, wow. And here is Mary, this young girl, and the angel telling her, you're going to have a child. And not only a child, you're going to have Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And Mary had to be strong no matter what was going on. She had to be strong in her faith no matter what was going on. In order for this to happen, she had to believe God. Amen? And it's the same for us today. If we're going to see a miracle, we've got to be strong in his faith. We've got to be strong in what God has spoken to us. Has God given you a word this year? Come on. If God's given you a word this year, raise your hand. Amen? How many have got a word from God, and maybe it hasn't come to pass yet, but you're still believing for it? Anybody? Come on. Amen. Several of you have got a word from God and you're believing for it. You're believing just like Mary. I want to encourage you to be strong in that word. I want to encourage you to be strong in his word. Amen. I want you to look at Romans 4:17 through 20 just a moment, because we've been doing and talking a lot about Abraham, but I want you to look at Abraham's life for just a moment, because he was kind of encountering a similar situation, right? He was about 99, 100 years old, and God promised him a child. God promised him a child, but it hadn't come to pass, but Abraham was believing. And look what it says. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So you may not see what you're believing for yet, but don't stop calling it forth. Don't stop calling it forth. You keep calling it forth. If you've got a word of God on it, you keep calling it forth, because when you keep calling it forth, amen, it is going to come to pass. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't see it. It feels like it's dead. It doesn't matter, man. That's what faith is. Faith believes in spite of what you see. Look at the next verse. Let's go to verse 18, amen. Who contrary to hope, now you got to think about this. Who contrary to hope. That's not a good place to be in. That's not a good place to be in. When everything seems like it's against you. And you know, when you start dreaming, even people will rise up and be against you. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In hope believed. It was contrary to hope, but he believed in the goodness of God, because that's what hope is. Who believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Look at verse 19. I love this. And not being what? Weak in faith, he did not consider his own body or that situation. Folks, get your eyes off the situation. Get your eyes focused back onto Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It doesn't matter what a doctor says, what a lawyer says, what anybody else may say. Focus your attention on Jesus, because let me tell you, he is the answer and he is the miracle worker still today. Amen. Amen. Come on, you can give him some praise. Amen. Don't be weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And listen to this next verse. He did not waver. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't a yo-yo Christian. Up one minute, down the next. That's people that are living on the emotions and not out of the word. God doesn't want you living in your emotional state. God doesn't want you just living by your feelings. And you get up in the morning, you don't feel good, or you don't feel like it, or I just don't know how, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out. God didn't want you living there. God wants you living in the Word. The Word will sustain you. The Word will sustain you. The Word will sustain you. He did not waver through at the promise of God, at the Word of God, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. One of the greatest things you can do while you're in that time between the seed time and the harvest is give glory to God. Because when you're praising God, as Ridge said this morning, as Kay was saying this morning, when you're praising God, it puts the focus on God and gets it off of you. And that's why the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's why David said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. I'm going to bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all your diseases. Someone say all. All your diseases. All your diseases. So here's Mary. She heard from God, and she chose to trust him. Conception took place, resulting in a supernatural birth, because she chose to take God at his word. The key to Mary's supernatural conception was that she received God's word that the angel gave to her. Over in Luke 1:37, I'm going to put this up in the Amplified. Look at Luke 1:37, and he says, Christ has redeemed us. There you go, Luke 1:37. There you go. Thank you, brother. For with God, nothing is or ever shall be what? Nothing is. So turn to somebody and say, your situation, it's not impossible for God. Your situation, no matter what it might be, you say, Pastor, you don't know, I don't know your situation. But the good thing is God does know your situation. And God says nothing is impossible. He can do it. Amen? In fact, really, he's already done it and released it for us. And what we have to do is just receive what he's already done. Man, it is so awesome. God's word is so, so good. Look at Matthew 19:26. God specializes in doing supernatural things for his people. God wants to put the super on your natural. But when Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing too hard for God. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 1:27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Let's go over to Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26. Look at this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 19:26. Praise. I messed you up, didn't I, brother? I'm sorry, man. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible. Now, I want you to look at Mary's response when this angel told her, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Look what Mary responded. This young teenage girl said this. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And in essence, she said, Lord, I'm your servant. Use me to fulfill your will in my life. Amen? According to me. Immediately when she believed and she spoke the word, it's not only believing, but believing is speaking. Amen? Believing is speaking. Amen? I believe, therefore I speak, the Bible says. So I speak what I believe. She said, be it unto me according to your word. She believed the word of God, and not only did she believe it, but she spoke it. And when she spoke it, she instantly became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. And this is the attitude we need to have. Your word says it, God, so it settles it for me. Your word says it, so it settles it for me. God, your word says I am healed, so therefore I am healed. Your word says, God, I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. Your word says, God, I am prospering, therefore I am prospering. Amen. What your word says, God, it settles it, because your word is settled forever in heaven, God. Amen. And I release that word here on earth by opening my mouth and speaking what God's word says. When you receive the spiritual truth of the word, you receive the true spirit of Christmas. You receive the true spirit of the miracle birth in your own life. And you receive life from Jesus Christ. How many know he's come to give us life? And give it to us how? More abundantly. The word abundantly means to the full, to the overflow. God got supernatural abundant life for us. Long life for you. Long life. Don't laugh when somebody turns 100, rejoice. When somebody gets 105, rejoice. When somebody gets 110, rejoice. When somebody's 120, rejoice. When somebody's 130, rejoice. Can I go on? 140, 150, rejoice. Amen? Man, rejoice. When it seems like, you know, your situation may be sinking deeper and seems like there's every attack coming against you, you know, you've got to remember what the Bible says. You've got to get a word on it. The Bible says that every curse has been reversed. Amen. And when Jesus came, he took all the curse that was against us and nailed it to the cross. Look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13, I love this verse. Christ has redeemed us. Everybody say redeemed. That means he's purchased us. He's bought us. Amen. Redeemed us from, he paid the price from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Yesterday at Kara, somebody was talking about this, and we got talking about this and family inheritance and all this stuff. Can I tell you that when you receive Jesus Christ, that your family tree has a new line? A new bloodline, and it doesn't matter what may have happened to your mother, your father, what they may experience, what they went through, what disease they had, what they died of, whatever happened to them, it doesn't matter, because you're in a new bloodline. Woo! Can anybody relate to that? How many of you, honestly, how many of you, now I don't know about your family background, but my family background was full of heathens. I mean, my family, I have some of the most messed up family. I love you guys. Amen. But they'll tell you we are messed up. But I got thinking about my life and how different my life is and my perspective on life is than my entire family. And come on, Holly, preach it. And the reason, and she knows, amen. And the only thing I can attribute this to is Jesus. The only thing. Now, some of you may not have any weirdos in your family. I've got weirdos in my family. Yeah, I've got, man, I'm telling you. And my dad died at 46 years old of a heart attack. His brother died at 55. His other brother died at like maybe 52, 54, somewhere around there. All of them died of heart disease. I'm 60-something, 40-something. Amen. But I tell you, God is so good, and the only thing I can attribute to is God's goodness and Jesus Christ in my life. I mean, when you know God, every generational curse is broken. There is nothing against you any longer. It is broken. It is gone. It is under the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a new you in you. Amen? And you need to rise up and take a word on this. Amen? And it doesn't mean that you disassociate yourself from your family. I love my family. Although some of them are highly dysfunctional, I love them. Amen? And you know, but man, it makes a difference in your life that you can even share back to them and say, listen, I want to tell you what happened to me. It's Jesus. Oh, turn to somebody and say, he's preaching to you right now. Amen. The facts may say one thing, but the facts aren't the truth. God's word is always the bottom line. John 17:17. Hallelujah. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It doesn't matter when you've gone to a doctor and the doctor says this. That might be a fact, but the truth always triumphs the fact. Amen. Amen? So what the doctor may tell you, you don't lean on that. You lean on what God tells you through his word. That's how you birth a miracle in your life, when you lean on what God tells you through his word. Amen? I want you to turn to something because, you know, receiving the truth of God's word is so vital. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We're going to put it up in the Amplified. And this is so good. I love this. Amen? And we also thank God continually. Turn to somebody and say, I thank God continually. How about you? For this, what do we thank God for? For this, that when you receive the word of God concerning salvation, now salvation, soteria, is deliverance, it's healing, it's prosperity, it's everything. When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. You welcomed it not as a word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you. Man, this is so good. In you who believe. You know God's word is effectually working in your life right now. You know God's word is working in your spirit right now. You know God's word is getting ready to produce a miracle in your life right now. It is effectually working. It's working in you right now to birth a miracle out of your life that could change everything around you forever. Amen. Exercise, listen, which effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inerrant supernatural power in those of faith. This word is powerful. It is a seed that we plant in our heart. Peter tells us it is an incorruptible seed. Amen. It will never, ever die, but will always produce life and will always produce hope. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Wow, Jesus, you're so good. You know what? Righteous people who know they're righteous, they speak faith, not doubt. They speak faith, not fear. Amen? They know the goodness of God. They know the power of God working in their life. They know they've got a word on it, and they know that word is going to come to pass. Amen. The word of God has a due season of manifestation. Amen. A due season. 1 Peter, let's put up 1 Peter 5:6. Look at this real quick. Amen. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you when? Turn to somebody and say, it's due time. Come on, turn to somebody and say, it's due time. Time is due, amen? It's time for that word to come to pass. Praise God. Now listen, here at Christmas time, we can get caught up in so much stuff and miss the real meaning of Christmas. God doesn't want you to lose Jesus at Christmas. You didn't hear me. God doesn't want you to lose Jesus at Christmas. Now listen, let me tell you something. First of all, if you're a believer, it's impossible to lose Jesus, right? But you can lose your focus. I want you to turn to a verse of Scripture this morning. We're going to close with this, and we've got a special guest coming in this morning. Luke chapter 2, 41 through 52. Can you turn there? Luke chapter 2, 41 through 52. We get a little bit of a back view of Jesus when he was a child here. It says his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Now, the Feast of the Passover was celebrating the Passover where the angel passed over, saw the blood on the doorpost in Exodus, passed over the house, the death angel, amen, and those children lived. Remember that story? Anybody remember that story out of Exodus, right? And it said, and when he was 12 years old, everybody say 12 years old. Here is a picture of Jesus, 12 years old, right? They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So it was Passover. When he had finished, when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Look at this next verse. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey. This is the original Home Alone. Now, can you get this picture? Can you see this right here? You know, they were all caught up in the festivities. You know, it was Passover. Passover's a great thing. Christmas is a great thing. But they got so caught up, they began to journey back home, and they forgot Jesus. Now, listen, they were still in a relationship with Jesus, right? Just like you and I, still in a relationship with Jesus. But, man, they left Jesus behind back here. We going to party, hey. We're going to leave Jesus out here. Man, don't. Oh, I cracked myself up, man. That's just like. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine how they must have felt? I remember as a little kid, I must have been 5 years old. I still remember this. It's really something about being lost. There's really a fear associated with being lost. Aren't you glad you're not lost today? Man, aren't you glad you're found in Jesus Christ? But there was a fear, and I remember, I can't remember where we were. I think we were at a supermarket, and I was so little, and I was with my dad. Now, I had a great relationship with my father. He was a heathen guy, but, man, I love this guy. He was just awesome. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the time I had with him. But I remember I got lost, and I went into panic mode. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever been there before, man? Like, I was, like, in panic mode. My little feet at that time, because I was kind of short, I was running up and down the aisles. I was trying to find him. And I remember, you know, I was so fearful and so frustrated. I ran, and there was some khaki pants. My dad wore khakis a lot. And there were some khaki pants, and I ran, and I grabbed these khaki pants, and I held on to them, and I looked up, and it wasn't my dad. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Fear really set in then. I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And I was so afraid and so afraid. And all of a sudden, I caught my dad out of the corner of my eye, and I ran to him, and I jumped in his arms, and he loved on me and hugged me. He didn't know I was lost. he probably thought, you know, I was lost, but he didn't know, you know. He just thought, what's my kid doing, man? He just gave me some extra hugs, right? But I was so panicked. Listen, fear is from the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of being lost today. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. You see, Christmas is not only about the birth, but it's about the death. Because without the death, we would have no Christmas. And it's not only the death, it's the resurrection. That he's alive today and he's living and he wants to have a relationship with you. And let me finish this up. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives. You know, we're going to all get together with our relatives this Christmas. And sometimes you won't find Jesus among your relatives. I'm sorry. You might find all kinds of other things, but you if you have some relatives like I was just speaking about, a lot of times you won't find Jesus there. I'm just telling you, man. They searched for him among the relatives, but he wasn't there. So when they did not find him, right, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. What a beautiful sight. That's what you need to do this morning. Just turn your eyes up towards Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his love and grace. Now, so it was that after 3 days, 3 days, they found him. Where did they find him? In the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. You know where you really find Jesus is, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. You know where Jesus is right now? He's right here. Amen. This is just walls and stuff, but you're his temple, and two or three of us are here, and he just wants to love on you this morning. He just wants to show himself to you today. Look at the next few verses here. And all who heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. Wow. God's got answers for your life. God's got an answer for your situation. God's got an answer for your home. God's got an answer for your loved one. God's got an answer for your health. Be healed. Amen. And all who heard him were astonished, and he was understanding and answering. Amen. Look at the next verse. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, can you get this? Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you fearfully. God didn't want you to have to seek him fearfully this morning. He's right here. Amen. He loves you so much. Look at the next verse. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? What's up? Kind of a teenage answer, right? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. You know, Jesus came as a baby because babies are so cute. Now, if he came as a teenager, he might have been still, you know, cute, but teenagers cost you a lot more money. So I was just saying. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God, God himself, setting an example to all of us. He was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, you're so good. Would you bow your head right where you're seated this morning? And you know, God just wants to love on you. I feel like there's so many here today that, you know, I don't know what all your needs are, but you've got some needs in your life. You've just got some things there in your life this morning. And you'd say, you know, I just need Jesus to love on me a little extra right now. Would you just, and no one looking around, please, right now, no one looking around, would you just be so kind to raise your hand right now and say, yeah, I've got some needs in my life, and I'm believing God. Just God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Come on, there's still some others. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God loves you so much. God bless you. Amen. I see your hand this morning. God bless you. I want to pray for you right where you're seated this morning. And, you know, if you'd like to have some extra prayer, we'll have that today. But I want to pray for you this morning. In fact, church, we all pray together right now. Say, Jesus, thank you. You are my answer to every need in my life. Let your love overwhelm me today. Let your love heal me today. Hang on just a second, guys. Let your love just speak to my heart. Thank you, Jesus. You are my answer. You are my life today. I give everything right now to you. My life, my dreams, my ambitions, everything I have, I give to you. I don't carry this pain, this hurt, this burden any longer. I give it to you. Today, I'm found in you, and I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, thank you. Listen, don't raise your head. Don't raise your head yet. I just sense there were so many burdens just lifted off this morning. I sense that God did something so special in your life today. That belief just jumped out of your heart, just as Mary did, as you confess those words. I believe there's a change in you today, a change in your life. And from this day forward, you're going to be brand new. You're going to see things happen that never happened before, that you can even ask or imagine, and they're all going to be good. Amen? Because of Jesus. Can we give God a big hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning, and I've got some special guests coming in. So we're going to do the candlelight first, and then we got some special guests. So stand this morning, and we're going to help you. Usher's going to help you light our candles this morning, and we're going to sing to the Lord Silent Night today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is God good or is God good? Amen. He is so good. Share a candle with somebody. Praise the Lord.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Can we give him a hallelujah? Hey, come on, let's give him a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, oh, you can do better now. Let's give him a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can blow out your candles. And we've got some special guests today. We've got Mr. and Mrs. Claus with us today. Can we welcome them? Where are they at? Are they back there somewhere? Let's give them a good hand. Woo! Wow, where are they at? Here they come. Come on in, guys. Let's give them a good hand, right? Wow. Now, what's so cool about Mr. and Mrs. Claus is they know Jesus. And that's what's so cool about them. And we're glad you're here. We've got some seats over here. And if you'd like to get a picture with Mr. and Mrs. Claus today, you can do that. And we wanted to bring them in. You guys welcome them. Let them know we're so blessed they are here today. Turn to five people this morning, or maybe 10, and wish them a Merry Christmas. Would you do that? Get a picture this morning. Amen. It's all set up for you. God bless you. Amen. Holly and I see you next Sunday if you can be here.